I die, I'm going to go to heaven because I've already been to hell. You see? And they look at their life now in this world as being a pure hell. There's life struggles every day. Things that get us down. Depressed and worried and all the pressures that we face. There are family issues and struggles that people have. And then there are the health issues that a lot of people have that somehow seem to overwhelm us at times and make us feel like that we're not in heaven, we're not in hell, we're just, that life is hell, as people express. You see? Sometimes we get the feeling like this. Teenagers pay special attention to this. You see? Don't we really kind of wish it was like this? I wish that all the problems that I have now I could have dealt with back when I was a teenager, because that's when I knew everything. You see? Had all the answers back then. Okay? Alright, some of you teenagers shaking your head, right? But that's kind of how, you know, when we're teenagers, that's how we think about it. When we get to be adults, we go, boy, if I can only have that back again, right? Why is it? Why does it seem that life here is hell for so many of God's children? Why does it seem like it's so bad? Well, sometimes I think when we get overwhelmed, we begin to ask questions like, does God really care? I mean, does He even care about what's going on in my life and the problems and struggles, the hardships, the difficulties that I'm facing? And sometimes we begin to question. We say, well, yes, God is able to take care of this. God's able to help me. God's able to support me. Is He really? We begin to wonder. Is God really able? If He is, then why am I still having to struggle with all of these problems and issues and hardships and difficulties in my life? Why does it seem like I'm going through hell? We're going to be talking about living the power of heaven in our daily lives. That's really what this is all about. You see, God's promises are not just about what happens when we die. And that's something that we really have to get a handle on. You see, I think we focus so much attention on what's going to happen when we die and we want to go to heaven that we don't realize that heaven's power is right here for us, right now. And we don't tap into it. So we're going to be in this study talking about tapping into the power of God, living each day of our lives in God's power. Not just waiting until we die to experience it, but actually living in it day to day. You see, living in God's power, though, we have to realize is more than just when we feel desperate, we fall on our knees and pray. And we kind of have this approach. All we can do now is pray. It's not about praying in desperation when we don't know what else to do. That's not living in God's power. Now, should we be praying when we're having struggles? Should we be praying when we're having struggles? Absolutely. But it shouldn't be an act of desperation when we don't know what else to do. It should be tapping into God's power source, you see, in our daily lives. So how we think about prayer makes all the difference in the world. And living in God's power today, it demands our whole being. And that's why Jesus, when asked about what the greatest commandment is, said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, your whole being. He said, that's what living in the power of God is all about. You see? It's your whole being. It demands everything from us. This study, then, really is about surrendering. It's about surrendering our lives to Jesus so that we can daily live in the power of heaven. The only way you can experience and live in the power of heaven is to surrender your life to His. As long as you are trying to hold on to you and to be in charge of you, you're not going to be able to live in His power. Okay? It requires a complete surrender to Him. We need to focus then, in order to do this, we begin this part of our lesson, we need to focus on hearing heaven's message. In other words, what is the message that God wants us to hear from heaven? What is it that He wants us to know? Okay? You go over to John chapter 5, verses 37 to 38. In this text, again we find Jesus being confronted by the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of His day. Because again, Jesus is healing on the Sabbath. And that always got Him in trouble with the religious leaders, you see? And so, Jesus, in this particular confrontation with the religious leaders of these days, look at what He has to say to them. Okay? He says, "And the Father who sent Me has Himself testified concerning Me." And look at this. Notice what He says here next. "You have never heard His voice." Okay? Now hang on to that. "You have never heard His voice, nor seen His form, nor does His word dwell in you, for you do not believe in the One that He sent." You have never heard His voice. He goes on to say, "You diligently study the Scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me, and yet you refuse to come to Me to have life." Now understand that the people that Jesus is talking to, okay, these are folks who knew the law. They knew the Scriptures. They studied them, you say. They knew everything that they said. And yet Jesus said, "You never heard His voice." You say, they knew what the Scriptures said, but they didn't know the voice of God. And there is a huge, huge difference between those two. You see, it's one thing to learn all the things that the Scriptures teach. It's one thing to learn all that it said. And you can go in there and you can quote book, chapter, and verse and spout out Scripture here and spout out Scripture there. But if you never hear the voice of the One who gave us those Scriptures, then you're not going to experience what He really wants you to know. So this is about listening to heaven's message. You see? God is calling. He wants to talk to you. You see? But what we have to understand is that this is about listening and allowing heaven's message to speak for itself. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you see, what happens is we read the Scriptures and I think what happens is we take heaven's message and we interpret it, first of all, I think, based on our own perspective. So we read the Bible and we already perhaps have preconceived ideas or beliefs about what the Bible teaches or what it says. And so, well, that's what it says. And we don't really listen to what it really says. We're not listening to heaven's message. We're listening to our own voice or our own belief or our own preconceived idea. Another problem that we have is that we oftentimes let others interpret it for us. People like me. You see, people come and say, "Preacher, what's the Bible say about this? Preacher, what's the Bible say about that?" Well, is there anything wrong with that? No. Except for the fact that you have to understand and realize that people like me are not infallible. I made a mistake one time. Yeah, you understand my point. We're not infallible, okay? But my point is, don't rely on someone else to interpret heaven's message for you. Listen. Listen to what God's saying. Sometimes He requires us to do this. Just shut up and let God speak, okay? Listen to what He has to say to me. Okay? Just listen to what His message from heaven is. Because at the very core of heaven's message are two things. Two things. The first one, and I like this, okay? The first one is we get a do-over, okay? Y'all know what a do-over is, right? You get a do-over. Isn't that exciting? You get a do-over because we messed up in our lives, don't you see? And the first message from heaven is God loves you so much, He gives you a do-over. You get to do things over again. In other words, He's not holding you to your first acts. And I'm so grateful for that. You see? Because the first stuff I was involved in my life, that's not good. So I'm grateful that the message, at the core of the message from heaven, is a do-over. You see, my past doesn't matter anymore. I've got a different future. You see? Because the message from heaven is, we get another chance. That's what forgiveness is all about. That God gives us a do-over when we mess up in our daily lives. We get a do-over. We repent. You see? And we get a do-over. So that our future is no longer dependent on that past. Whatever we did in the past, whatever has happened to us in the past, it doesn't matter. Because heaven's message is, you get a do-over. You get to start out fresh and new. All over you. The second part of that message is that what God wants from us is not about rules. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. That's what God wants. And that's the message from heaven. Is the core of it is relationship. That's what it's all about. You see, God's intention is not for us to just be people who follow a bunch of rules. That's not why He gave us the Bible. So that we have a list of rules that we live by. As long as we keep all the rules, then we get to go to heaven. And that's, unfortunately, the concept that a lot of Christians have. Keep the rules, go to heaven. Keep the rules, go to heaven. Break the rules, oh man, I'm in trouble now. You see? It's not about rules. It's about relationship. It's not about religion. You see, if your concept of what God wants and His message from heaven to you is all about you coming to church all the time, make sure you're here, you're missing the message. You see? Now, is it important to be here? Yes, because God wants us to gather together as His family and worship Him together and encourage each other in fellowship. But it's not about religion. It's about the relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. You see? If you go back to the story of the rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what must I do to go to heaven? Inherit eternal life, right? That's what it's all about. Okay? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. And as we've talked about many times before, he says, which ones? As if you get to pick and choose, you see? And Jesus goes along with him, play along, tells him a few of them, and the man says, I've kept all of these since I was a youth. Jesus said, there's one thing you still lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor. But he didn't stop there. What did he say next? Come follow me. In other words, I want you in a relationship with me. You see? Get rid of all of the stuff that is hindering your relationship with me. And in his case, it was his money. Get rid of all of that and have a relationship with me. That's what it's really all about. That's what that story is. Okay? It's not about condemning people that have a lot of money. It's not about condemning rich people. That's not it. It's about telling people whatever the issue is, whatever would stand in the way of you in a relationship with God, Jesus says, get rid of it because I want you in relationship with me. Okay? I don't want religion. I want a relationship. I don't want you just following rules. I want a relationship. That's the message that God is giving us from heaven. You see, because God has a priority there. And guess who's at the top? You. You are at the top of God's priority list. And every single one. We need to understand how God sees us. Okay? How does God really see us? How does He look at us? Versus how does the world see us? I got a phone call back a few months ago from a woman in the community here. And she wanted to see me. She wanted to talk. She was having a lot of problems. And she was, I could tell by the phone call that she was just really under a lot of stress and anxiety. And so, you know, she came into my office and we sat and talked, and I could tell just by looking at her that she was just completely stressed out. She had nowhere to turn as far as she thought. Let me tell you what was going on in this woman's life. She said, to begin with, she said, my son is in jail. And she told me a little bit about what he had done, and so he was in jail for a while. And so her son's wife, her daughter-in-law, had moved in to the hotel room where her and her husband were staying. And there in the hotel room, where the three of them are living, sharing this hotel room together, her husband and her daughter-in-law started sleeping together. Yeah. And they weren't even trying to hide it from them. Yeah, you think you got problems, right? Yeah. This was this woman's world. She had family, you know, in the central part of the United States, but she felt like, you know, I'm all alone. This woman was in a position, in a situation where she was looking at herself and said, I am worthless. She didn't feel like she had any value whatsoever, no self-esteem. She saw herself as the world sees people like her as being worthless. And I had a wonderful opportunity to just encourage her and turn her focus off of what the world thinks and onto what Jesus thinks. Okay? And what His view of her was. And I wish you could have been there and seen the look on her face. It was almost like a light bulb went on in her head. It was turned on. And her face just kind of literally lit up for a little bit. When I told her, I said, you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody in this world thinks of you except God. And God loves you enough, no matter what's going on in your life, He loves you enough that He gave His Son to die for you. She'd never heard of that before. And she left from my office that day feeling a little bit better. She had a plan of what she was going to do. In the direction she was going, but mostly she had encountered, for that brief time, she had encountered Jesus. And I hope that she heard the message that she was valuable to Him. That's the message from heaven. You see? That God wants all of us to know and to understand. God wants us to see ourselves as He sees us, not as the world sees us. And that's the problem, I think, for so many Christians, is we focus too much attention on how the world sees us and what the world thinks of us. And that's why we obsess so much with how we look, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of car we drive, what kind of house we live in, how much weight we have or don't have, and all of those other things. Because we are so concerned about how the world sees us instead of looking at how God sees us. Okay? We need to start looking at and focusing on seeing ourselves through God's eyes. Okay? I used to have a poster years ago. I lost it somewhere in one of my moves here or there, what have you. I had a poster, this little girl on there, and the poster, the caption on the poster said, I know that I'm lovable because God doesn't make junk. You see? He doesn't make junk. Brother Marvin Phillips, in a book that he wrote a long, long time ago, You Can't Get to Heaven in a Straight Line, he says this in there. He says, when every person that's born, when they're born they're as a little child, a little baby, we come into this world, he says, with this big ribbon that's attached to us. Okay? And on that ribbon, it says, I am lovable and capable. Now, all you have to do is watch a little child, and you'll see that that's true. Okay? Because they are convinced that they're lovable, okay? And they're capable. I watched little Noah and little Allison, both of them. Allison, she's almost ready to start walking. I mean, nothing is holding these two back. Okay? And you don't even have to call their name. All you have to do is just look at them, and their faces lights up. They just big old smile because they're going, I'm lovable. Yeah. And they're capable. They'll do anything. They'll try anything. They're going all over the place. That's what babies do. Because we have this ribbon that's attached to us when we're born that says, I'm lovable and capable. And we believe we are, and we know we are, and that's how we live. But he goes on to say this. He says, Satan constantly tears away at that ribbon. So that by the time we get to the end of our life, he says, we're lucky if we have a piece of that ribbon left aside of the postage stamp. Because the world is constantly ripping and tearing apart that ribbon that's telling us that we are lovable and capable. We doubt. Because we start looking at ourselves and seeing ourselves through the eyes of the world instead of through the eyes of God. And heaven's message is about looking at us through God's eyes. Okay? Hearing heaven's message begins with knowing that God's priority is of intimacy with you. That's what God wants. He is calling each and every one of us to intimacy with Him. A relationship. Say. He wants us to respond to Him. That call is so powerful. And it expresses a love that is so strong that He gave His only Son so that we could have that intimacy with Him in relationship. And He did that, by the way, not once we got our act together. You see? He sent His Son to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, God says, I want a relationship with you. But He did not say, look, you go and you get your act together, you start living the way you're supposed to, you quit sinning in your life, and then come to me, and I'll see what we can do. No. God says, I want a relationship with you. So I'm sending my Son to die for all of your sins, for all of your shortcomings, for all the mistakes, for all of the sorrow and all the hardship in your life. I've given my Son so that you and I can be in relationship with one another. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to focus on restoring intimacy in that relationship. That's what heaven's message is about, is that intimate relationship with Him. I want to call your attention to the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. There's a series of parables here that I think really can help us understand heaven's priority for us. Okay? And so Matthew chapter 13, the series of parables begins with the parable of the sower. Okay? And if you look at this parable, what you see is that Jesus describes, He says, the sower, that is God, goes out into the field, which is the world, He says, okay, and He sows the seed. Alright? So God has gone into the world and He's sowing the seed. Now, understand this. He knows, okay, watch this, He knows that 3/4 of those that He is pursuing are going to either reject Him or going to break their commitment to Him. 3/4 of those where the seed is sown. You've got 4 types of soil. 3 of them fall away. 1 is the good soil. So He knows that, but yet He pursues anyway. Okay? Are you getting this? You following me here? Okay? Then he goes on to talk about the parable of the weeds. How concerned is God as he sowed these seeds into the field? How concerned is he for what is growing there? Well, you know, as he tells the parable, there's weeds that grow up amongst the wheat, and the servants come and they say, "Master, there's weeds growing there, and should we pull up those weeds?" And he says, "No, I'll leave them there until the harvest." Why? Because he is so concerned, he will not risk destroying the righteous along with the wicked in that herd. So if you pull up the weeds, you're liable to pull up the wheat. And he loves us so much, he will not risk purging the righteous with the wicked. Okay? He's patient also. Right? Patient. Not wanting anyone to perish, but all men to come to repentance. Now, look at this last part. Verse 44. Part of the text that was read for us. This is the parable of the hidden treasure. Okay? And notice what Jesus says here. He's already defined the field as the world. And he's already defined the man as himself. Right? Everybody got that? Alright, now look at this. Look at what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Where's the field? Where's the field? The world. Okay? Alright? When a man who is God finds it, what does he do? He hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Are you listening to this, folks? Do you get the message? You see, God loves us so much. He came into the field, the world, and found a treasure. And guess what that treasure is? Us. Us. What is happening in the real world like? He gave the one thing of the greatest value that he had so that he could purchase us back from sin. In his joy, he gave up everything that he had so that he could buy us back. Okay? Why? Because we are his priority. Intimacy with God, that's what he wants. An intimate relationship with you. And that kind of raises our value a whole lot, doesn't it? You see? So when the world is trying to tell you because you don't look a certain way or you don't have certain things or wear certain things or live in certain places or all those other things, they're saying you're not valuable, you need to remind yourself and be reminded that God says you're valuable enough that I gave my son to you. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or what kind of clothes you're wearing or where you live or what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of phone you have. None of those things matter. Because they don't give us true value. Not in God's eyes. You see? This is what gives us value. The blood of the Son Jesus. When something is of great value, in order to acquire it, what do you have to do? Pay more. Right? I mean, that's simple economics. Things that are more valuable, we have to pay more for them. How much more can you pay than the blood of your son? Okay? So, what does God say about who you are? Okay? That's what it's really all about. Heaven's priority is about us being in relationship with Him. Okay? That's what He wants. And that's what we're going to be focusing on in this study. Heaven in the real world. So even whether we're struggling with things in this life, we've got trials and tribulations that we focus on listening to God's message. and tapping into His power so that we're not going through whatever we're going through alone, but we have His power to give us what we need. That doesn't mean He's going to take it away from us. It means He's going to, at the very least, give us what we need to sustain us. And He certainly has the power to do that. I don't know what's going on in everyone's life. I know what's going on in some people's. But what I want you to think about this morning is, have you been listening to Heaven's message in your life? Have you been listening to it? Or have you been listening to the world? Okay. You've been listening to the world and you're feeling down, you're feeling like you're not of value, you've made too many mistakes, can God really love you? I want to encourage you to please rethink that and listen to Heaven's message. Because it's a message of love. And we can help you this morning to really tap into that power source of Heaven. That's what we want to do. Maybe you're a Christian that's struggling with some of these things in your life. Don't go out here this morning still struggling with those things. Let's give you God and let you leave from here rejoicing today. If you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to God, and you can do that this morning. You can leave here rejoicing because you're back in relationship with Him, having been reconciled from your sins. See, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of your sins and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. You don't have to wait. But it's all about Heaven's message to you. That God loves you enough that He gave His Son so you can be in relationship with Him. You have a need at all that we can help you with. Jerry, will you be in the back to receive anybody that would like to have a conversation or a prayer private with Jerry? He'll be in the back to receive you. And I'll be up front. Let's stand together.
I really love.